Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Sam Crenshaw, 9 floors up in the Kia Studios on a game day Sunday morning. Chilly on the outside, but it is wild card weekend. A weekend that has been wild so far in this first weekend of 2020. Happy New Year to you. No one said it to you yet. I'm saying it to you now. Happy New Year. I hope your new year is off to a good start, and you're setting your goals, whatever they are, for the new year to be. We all want to say we're going to do things to improve ourselves in different ways. And one of the obvious ones after doing all the eating we did during the holidays was, you know, do some work and do some conditioning. A lot of us got some workout apparel during the holidays, and we're going to rush out and put it to use. One thing I'm going to remind everybody, though, and Greg knows I do this, you know, kind of every year, if you're going to the gym, and you're going to be working out, and you know you're not feeling your best, you know, when you come in there and you're coughing and you're sneezing and you're wheezing, but you're still working out and you're sweating, man, take the towel and wipe stuff down. You know, we don't want your flu. We don't want your flu. Your flu is your flu. You know, don't come in there giving it spread to everybody. You know, do work out. Do what you have to do to get yourself better and improve. You know, your health for the new year. Absolutely, absolutely. But, you know, you're in there, you're on the treadmill, and you're on the elliptical, and you working and working, and somebody next to you is sneezing, and, you know, come on. Just as a common courtesy. You know what I mean? That's all we're saying.
It sounds like a problem you've been having for years.
Well, it.
And especially in January when them wannabes come in there for a month or so,
They come in there for a month or so, and they come in, you know, some of them come in there with them and they have a cold or
got
whatnot.
Brand new workout gear on.
Oh, looking great.
Yeah, brand new shoes.
Everything's shiny.
Everything Christmas present. Don't know how to act once they get into the gym. Is that what you're saying?
No, you come in there sneezing and carrying, you know.
Yeah.
Just wipe whatever apparatus you've used, just have a towel and wipe it down a little bit there. I'm not saying bring the wet naps and the Clorox things you pop out, and we're not going to go that far, but just as a common courtesy, there are some people who will use that equipment after you leave. That's all we're saying.
I just came in here to remind folks that they got playoff action going on today. Wild card playoff action.
Yes.
You're so busy telling folks about wiping down the backs of the equipment, you got to remind them if they can't get in front of a TV today, they can watch listen to the Vikings and Saints right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We'll have it for them.
Pre-game 12:30, kickoff at 1, followed by Seattle and Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Couldn't be happier that Philadelphia's in there. That's the one. It's funny. We've been talking about Brady this morning. You've been talking mostly about Brady.
I'm very happy.
And his landing spot. But we haven't talked about the team that isn't there. Because that's as much of a story as where he may land or anything else. Because for a couple days, who's going to be coaching the Cowboys?
Yeah.
Who wants to be there? The question is, who wants to be a bigger puppet? Coach of the Cowboys or the Redskins? And that's Ron Rivera now.
Ron Rivera's going up to the Redskins.
Yeah, but he brought Jack Del Rio with him. So you got two tested commodities up there.
True.
But they still got Daniel Snyder.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's the thing. Who takes the Cowboys gig?
No.
Pays well. Pays well.
Okay, I'm going to give you – you are the world's biggest conspiracy theorist, okay?
Okay.
So I'm going to give you one right now.
Okay.
I'll just reach and pull this out of you nowhere. Who's the guy they've been talking about will be sought after this offseason? Josh McDaniel, offensive coordinator, New England.
Okay.
He takes the Cowboys' job. Tom Brady's gone. Where does he land? In Dallas.
No.
Can you refute it? You have to subscribe to the theory that Jerry Jones decides.
I don't think Brady goes down there.
But if his offensive coordinator goes there, he's the one dude during all this stuff that's gone on with New England over the years, from Deflategate to the other massage parlors and all that stuff.
Okay.
The one person you haven't heard Brady have a problem with is McDaniel, right? Never had any issues with him, at least it's never made it back to this part of the country. But now, again, I'm just reaching here. This is somebody. Big, we're sitting in the barbershop right now. By the way, we haven't acknowledged them too. We got to talk about what they got a chance to do again, but not now. We'll save that.
Yeah.
Carlin and boys over at Off the Hook got to hook up with the guys, the teams that played in the Peach Bowl.
Yeah.
That was cool.
It was great.
But is it out of the realm of possibility for Jerry Jones to first say, all right, I get it. I got to take a back seat. Let somebody be a real football gentleman. We know he's not, but let's just say somebody put something in his coffee that makes him believe he needs to do that. And he gives the reins to Josh McDaniel. And then Josh says, okay, I need a quarterback because I'm not really, you know, Dak. Yeah, okay. He needs a contract and maybe they won't give it to him, but Brady comes for a year. What do you think? 2 years.
I think he becomes that he's going to have a plan for longer than 2 years.
Okay, I was just being conspiracy theorist.
I don't think Cowboys would do a quick fix. I think they want something that's going to be sustainable for a longer period of time.
Good luck to them with that.
I believe you. I'm just saying.
As we sit here and talk about what the possibilities are and where he may go,
yeah.
I think were his offensive coordinator to land someplace with a head coaching job, that makes that destination a lot clearer. See what I'm saying?
We'll watch and see.
And why would you stay with New England now if Brady's going to be leaving? You see what I'm saying? The powers that be have been there all that time because you've had those guys in place. Now, if the dude who's getting it done between the white lines is thinking about moving on, maybe this is time for Josh McDaniel to take one of those opportunities that come flying at him every year.
Maybe. Maybe the chance. Maybe the chance for him to do that. And maybe they're a package deal.
Maybe.
That could be a possibility, too. Give your thoughts on that at 447-410-929. You can join our conversation or text us on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line at 447-410-929. We're at one texture at 442-16 said Brady will play one more year for the Pats, and then Andrew Luck will end his retirement and end up in New England. Could that happen? Wow. Just a thought. Thanks a lot for texting. You once again, you can join us on the text line too at 404-741-0929. Okay, the winners yesterday. Tennessee was the winner 20-13 over the Patriots. Big win for them. Big defensive stand they had on the goal line. To me, that was just as big as what happened for Brady not throwing a touchdown pass in the game. But still, the idea that Tennessee was able to do that, great, fantastic job once again. Derrick Henry running the football, having a big day, over 100 yards. That was big for them. Ryan Tannehill has found a new home, just a rebirth of his career there in Nashville. And so they moved on with a 20-13 win over the Patriots. And like I said, once again, the questions about Brady. What happens next? Is this the end of the Patriots as we've known them, as they've been? And if this has happened, how much longer does Belichick remain as the head coach in New England if this is happening? So some things to watch with that. The bottom line is they're done. And if you feel about the Patriots like I feel like the Patriots, you're happy today. You got a smile on your face because you don't have to talk about them anymore. As far as being a team in the playoffs, they are done. The other team we're talking about that had a big performance yesterday, the Texans, the Houston Texans. Welcome back, J.J. Watt. Healthy again and just in time to play in this wild card playoff game against Buffalo. And the Bills go to Texas and they get off to a great start in this game. They look like they're going to go there and get the win. And oh, by the way, does this Bills team now set their sight on taking over the division in the AFC East if this is a demise of the Patriots? So they're the team that's lining up there. Well, they were looking good until they get to overtime. The Texans rally back and Deshaun Watson with a play that you'll be seeing a lot this morning. If you watch any of the pregame shows leading into the wild card games, you will see a lot of the play of Deshaun Watson in overtime, eluding not one but two defenders, staying on his feet, completing the pass that set up the game-winning field goal, 22-19 your final, the Texans with the win over the Buffalo Bills. So that brings us to the games today. Greg told you the games that are coming up today, the 1 o'clock game, Minnesota at New Orleans against the Saints should be a great one. And the 4:40 game with Seattle against Philadelphia. Those are the two games that are coming up today as Wild Card Weekend continues. We got one listener, got Lori, wants to join us on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Good morning and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. I just wanted to tell you guys that I love you both. Whenever I have to change the radio station to anywhere else, I go, which I don't, if I'm not listening to something I like, I go to you, and that's pretty constant when you two are on.
Well, we appreciate
that. Happy New Year, and I just became, I'm 73, and I just became a loyal listener to you.
Well, thank you. We appreciate that. We love you, too, and a Happy New Year to you. Very much.
All right. And I'm a big Falcons fan, so you guys hang in there because I am.
Are you happy that Coach is staying? How'd you feel about that decision?
I am very happy he's staying because throughout the years, and I used to be a 49ers fan because I lived out in Northern California.
Okay.
With Derek Rice in Montana.
Okay.
And come on, guys. Hang in one more year. We're going to get it.
Okay, that's what you say, Laurie. Hey, that's just it. She says, hang along there with Coach Quinn one more year, and we'll see what happens.
We're going to get to the Super Bowl.
All right. You say it, we believe it, to start the new year. Thank you, Laurie. Thank you for listening to Weekend Mornings here on Sports Radio 929 The Game. And as you see, a former 49ers fan, now a passionate Falcons fan, feels like the team has done the right thing by hanging on to head coach Dan Quinn, the way the team finished the season. She's convinced. And we wonder how some of you are. Are you convinced? This team has done the right thing. And if he had left, who would it be? You're looking at some of the quandaries that some of the other teams are facing right now who are making coaching changes. We talked about Dallas and who goes there and who they get, who's going to be a right fit for what's in place. You talk about this team, and we already know some pieces that are in place. We want them to be healthy and at their best and then see what needs to be added for this team for this coming year. As Dan Quinn will remain as head coach of the Atlanta Falcons. Well, we thank Laurie for checking in with us and sharing that with us this morning here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We'll talk more NFL, of course, next hour. Dear Orlando Ledbetter is going to check in with us. He covers everything Falcons, so we're going to talk some Falcons. Also get his thoughts on the playoffs, the coaching situation in Dallas, and more that's coming up in the next hour. But coming up in our next segment, we're going to get to someone who's a veteran coverage of the NBA. Sekou Smith of NBA.com is going to join us, get more thoughts on the league so far this part of the season and on the legacy of David Stern, who passed this week. That is coming up. You stay with us. We continue on this Game Day Sunday morning here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game at 92.9TheGame.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game at 92.9TheGame.com. Sam Crenshaw with you from the Kia Studios, 9 floors up on this Game Day Sunday morning. We've been talking a lot of football, talking some basketball and some NBA, but of course, we talked a lot in the last hour. Some, we started mentioning this transformational figure in basketball, David Stern, who passed away this week, and just his impact, not only in the National Basketball Association, but the game globally, what he did for basketball. And joining us now to talk about that and some about the league and even some about our Atlanta Hawks here in town is Sekou Smith, NBA of NBA.com, joining us on the WaitFor.com outline. Sekou, Happy New Year to you, first of all.
Hey, Happy New Year, Sam. How you doing?
Great, great. Always to catch up with you. Hope the holidays were wonderful for you and family. But talk about the news that that happened this week with the passing of the former NBA commissioner. And what were the first things that came to your mind when you thought about it?
Wow. You know, Sam, it was, you know, one of those things where you start looking back on the life of someone who was that influential in the game and in sports overall. It's just a... It's remarkable to think about the decades he spent as the steward of the league and just where it grew from. When I was a kid, I remember, you know, the finals being on tape delay when I was, you know, a young kid. And now, you know, just being watched in over 200 countries, you got players coming from all over the globe to play in the league, over 108 players on opening night rosters this year. The reigning MVP, the reigning rookie of the year, the two front runners for MVP this season are both foreign-born players. I just think the global vision that David Stern had for the league, you know, 30 years ago, to see it living and breathing in the way that he envisioned it is remarkable. And I'm glad he got an opportunity to see that, you know, before he passed, because I'm sure, you know, you think about the people who didn't agree with him or didn't think he was on the right path. To see it, you know, turn into what it did had to be gratifying for him.
There's so many things that he did, and so many changes and things that took place on the court and off the court. Magic Johnson dealing with HIV. That was the dress code with Allen Iverson. That was the introduction of the WNBA. Just so many different things that he did. And while, you know, you saw him smile a lot, we also have heard that in a room with him, he would be very tough to deal with.
He had to be. You think about where the league was when he took over as commissioner. He had to be ready for all of the fights that were going to be, in his path because of the changes he was trying to make. You know, he was trying to take the NBA from a number three or four slot, you know, in America's sports consciousness to number one. And that was tough to do. And I think what he did was, you know, is obviously the NBA and, you know, is going to be second to the NFL in terms of popularity in the States. But I think globally, there's no question that the NBA has, you know, is the most robust league, you know, for fans globally because of the intersection of what David Stern was at, you know, right in the middle of, which was making the game a global phenomenon. I think, you know, everybody understands what the Dream Team meant, you know, that 1992 Olympic team, what that meant to furthering his cause. Those players, that time, you know, it's just something that most people will never forget about. You think about all of the foreign-born players who have come through the league since then, talk about that being the moment that they really fell in love with basketball. And you have to remember that's the first time the Olympic team was made up of all NBA players, and David Stern was very influential in promoting the idea of those guys playing. Magic, Bird, you know, Michael Jordan, Charles Barkley, and all those guys. They literally grew the game from that point to where it is now.
That being said, Greg and I were talking, and Deshaun, we were talking earlier about ways you remember him. Do you put Stern's name on a trophy and an award? And if it's something, is it just for the NBA? I think it should be something global. I think maybe in an award that's presented with the team that wins the Olympic gold medal, although that would only be awarded once every 4 years. But to me, something of that magnitude, to me, would be fitting for him.
Yeah, I think you definitely will see something in the near future signifying, you know, the level of excellence that he brought to the league. And look, I'm not here to sugarcoat anything. He definitely had some tumultuous times as well as commissioner, but that to me is a part of his legacy, you know, that he went through the highs and lows, all the good and the bad things you could go through in trying to, you know, grow the game around the world, and that he came out of it the way he did. I mean, the league has gotten better, actually. I mean, the popularity has grown since he's been commissioner. His handpicked successor, you know, Adam Silver, is considered by most people the new best commissioner in sports now that David Stern was no longer in charge of the NBA. So, I mean, you could go any number of ways in terms of honoring him, but I think his legacy speaks for itself in terms of all the people that are still in the league, players, executives, owners. You know, he was ahead of his time in a lot of different ways, including minority ownership and participation in the league office and all around the sport of basketball. So those things, to me, you could have a statue, you could have an award named after him, but I think the league being as healthy as it is now is the ultimate tribute to David Stern.
Spending time on the WaitForIt.com hotline with Sekou Smith of NBA.com and NBA TV and the Hangtime podcast. And you can follow him on Twitter. He is social at Sekou Smith NBA, at Sekou Smith NBA. That being said, you talk about the league itself, and the players are going to wear something going forward that will honor the former commissioner. But thoughts about the season thus far? What surprises have you seen? And this down the hall, changing locker rooms rivalry out on the West Coast seems to be the story that kind of rules over everything so far.
Yeah, that's what we thought it would be. The Lakers and Clippers are clearly the class of the Western Conference. And everybody, you know, will be waiting to see how they finish in the regular season standings because that's going to determine when they potentially could match up in the postseason. It's been, in the two games they've played against each other, it's been everything we wanted it to be. But really, the surprises around the league to me this year are elsewhere. You know, Luka Doncic, obviously, in Dallas has that team playing at a high level. Something that we didn't see coming, Luka being a 20-year-old MVP candidate and a guy who could dominate the action the way he has. And then the Miami Heat, you know, just nobody suggested before this season that they would be the type of team they've been. And to me, that is when the league is at its best, is when we don't know what's coming, when we can't predict who will perform at a high level during the course of a season. The Boston Celtics are another team to be a very pleasant surprise in terms of how well they're playing. There's a lot to love about what we've seen through this NBA season, through the 2019 portion of the calendar, Sam, and I would imagine we're going to see more of that same thing now that we're into 2020.
We are in 2020, and one player we're still waiting to see is the number one draft pick. We didn't, you know, he was scheduled to play, obviously the team was scheduled to play Christmas Day on that part of that schedule. Thoughts about Zion Williamson? He's a curiosity now. People are waiting to see when he's going to come back. When are you hearing may it be the nearest time for us to get a chance to see him play?
Well, I mean, he's on the court working out before their game last night, and he's getting closer and closer, I think, to that point where we could start speculating. But Zion just being back on the practice court for the Pelicans is very important. You know, I don't know if people understand the significance of when you get a number one pick and it's a generational talent like Zion Williamson, it elevates the expectation for the franchise regardless of how much David Griffin and his staff are trying to temper those expectations. So it's huge for the Pelicans to get him back so they can kind of figure out what they are and what they have in all those young pieces. But, we've had this scenario play out a few times in years past where the number one pick or a high pick in the draft spends his rookie year basically redshirting due to injury. You can go back to Blake Griffin, you know, Joel Embiid and guys of that ilk, you know, not always the number one pick, obviously, but big-time players who need a year before they can get healthy enough or get prepared to play at a high level. I think Zion has a lot of, you know, the qualities any franchise would love to see in their number one player, but we just don't know how good he's going to be. And in the meantime, we got a really impressive rookie class led by Ja Morant that is out there proving some of the skeptics wrong and showing us they're maybe better as a group than we thought they were.
Yep, they are. They show each and every night. Got to let you talk. You're here in Atlanta. Thoughts about the Hawks and this rumor we keep hearing about a trade with Detroit. Should that happen? What does this mean for the? What could it potentially mean for the team?
Well, I don't. You know, it's interesting. I don't know that I like the fit. You know, none of it's just rumblings and in theory. I don't know if I like the fit of Andre Drummond on this team with Trae Young and John Collins and some of the young pieces they have. Because I think we're making too many judgments on these guys too soon, Sam. Cam Reddish is in his first NBA season. You know, these guys have just gotten to Christmas, and I hear people around town talking about, you know, mistakes and wanting to make changes. Like, you got to give some of these players a little more time before you can tell exactly who and what they are. Trade season is going to crank up for the Hawks because of all the assets they've acquired. They're going to be a player, if they want to be, on the trade market because they can facilitate deals for other teams as well as try and improve their own roster, you know, through some transactions. But I don't know. I've learned over the years that these rumblings and rumors we hear about this time of year, they sound good, but if you're hearing about them and somebody's telegraphing it already, there's probably a chance it's not going to happen.
We will watch for that. Quickly, though, Trae Young, were you surprised by the early voting for him for All-Star Game?
No, absolutely not. I mean, he's been playing spectacular basketball. It hasn't translated into wins for the Hawks, but Trae is certainly making his mark. Another member of that sophomore class in the league, along with Luka Doncic, who are really asserting themselves. You know, and I expect not only for Trae to be an all-star, but I expect him to be an all-star for years to come because you don't do the things he's doing without garnering that kind of attention. The next step for him, obviously, is putting up those kinds of numbers and dazzling fans like that on a team that's playing significant basketball deep into the spring. That's what you want to be if you're Trae Young. The All-Star stuff is nice, but you want to be on a winner. And if you're the linchpin for that here, that's probably the best-case scenario for him and the Hawks.
Yep, yep. That's what we're hoping for here so much. Sekou, thanks so much for joining us and getting our new year off to a great start. Always great to catch up with you.
Thanks, Sam. Appreciate it. Happy New Year.
All right, same to you. Now, there's Sekou Smith once again, NBA.com, NBA TV, and the Hang Time Podcast. Follow me on Twitter, at Sekou Smith NBA. Coming back, more thoughts on David Stern and what Sekou had to say about him and the legacy and the way we should honor him. And take your calls and your texts when we continue on this Game Day Sunday morning. Herald Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and 92.9TheGame.com. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and 92.9TheGame.com. Sam Crenshaw with you. Nine floors up in the Kia Studios. Sun up. Good looking Sunday morning, but it looks like it's chilly out there. So if you're going out, bundle up. And thanks for the ride and letting us ride along with you. If you work late, you're just getting off work, headed for home. If you work in the morning shift, got us riding with you. If you're headed for Sunday services, thanks for letting us ride with you on this first Sunday and this first weekend of a new year. How's your new year starting? Is it starting out the way you wanted to? Are you waiting? Say, well, I'll start on Monday. What are you waiting for? Whatever it is you're going to do for this year. Why wait? Well, we're glad that you haven't waited to join us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hope you will join us throughout this coming year. Here on the air as well as on our social media platforms. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Also go to our website, 929thegame.com. I was like, what are you doing, man?
Don't mind me. Okay. Keep going.
He's coming in here.
Cardio here. Back and forth.
Great going back and forth here in the studio. But do follow us, especially on our website as well, because there's so much there for you. There are articles. There are stories. There are interviews. There are podcasts and so much more. If you follow Atlanta Sports here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. So thanks so much for being with us.
Did you remind people that we got an announcement next hour?
We do, don't we?
Yeah.
Yes, we do. We have an announcement coming up next hour.
Yeah.
You will be with us, and we will share that with you.
Something
we're pretty excited about.
Yeah.
We've been going back and forth about it, even though I hadn't seen you in like 2 weeks.
I know, but you have seen me.
Well, I did.
And more importantly, you paid to see me.
How about that, sports fans? I did pay to see you. Yes, I did.
I knew what I wanted to jump in here for. I really have been running back and forth, making sure there's light in this place. It's awful dark and gloomy.
Well, we got all these cameras around us now, man.
Yeah, but the cameras ain't on yet.
Not yet. They're here. Yeah, I noticed they raised the one over here because you kept bumping your noggin on the one that was directly behind you. They elevated it a bit. I think they did that just for you.
Yes, they did. You were talking last segment with Sekou.
Yeah.
And you and I have talked about this beforehand, and I couldn't disagree with you more when it comes to honoring David Stern with an international award. Because nobody overseas is going to know who he is. Moreover, know what he has done for the NBA, which is an American-based, with the exception of Toronto, American-based sport. Yes, it is a global sport.
Right.
But dang, folks in China, they know Yao Ming. They know a few other folks. I don't think they universally know who David Stern is. Moreover, what he did.
Well, if they didn't, they've heard in the last few days. He's a man who brought about the Dream Team.
They heard about a lot of things. And by the way, he didn't bring together the Dream Team. Let's get this right. Was it Rundage? It was the guy who was the head of FIBA.
FIBA.
Who decided that after the 88 Olympics, when we, by the way, lost.
Well, yeah, we were losing Olympics, but I mean.
Well, we won in 84 with Jordan and Patrick, but then. In 88, John Thompson lost.
Right.
Patrick Ewing was on that team. Not Patrick, excuse me. David Robinson was on that team. Number of other players. But the conversation was about how unfair it was coming from the NBA side about how these other countries could use professional players.
Right.
They got Tony Kukoc, folks like that, who were already getting it done internationally, and they were playing against these 18-year-olds. And the commissioner of FIBA decided that this sport could not be looked upon with any sort of respect if it were not, you know, if the best players in the world weren't participating. So he's the one that got it started. David Stern actually was sort of hesitant because he wasn't sure. He wanted to be a great partner with those folks, but he wasn't sure the logistics of it, who was going to play. And listen, we all know that Michael Jordan likes playing 36 holes a day in his offseason.
Yeah.
And so that was the biggest one. And it's been well chronicled how was it Rod Thorne? Went to Jordan first. Jordan's like, hey, I ain't going to be the only one on this team.
Yeah.
You get other folks and come back to me. And that's when he got – and, of course, Magic, who hadn't played for a year or so because he'd been out,
yeah.
was he jumped at it.
Yeah.
And then when he jumped at it, Larry jumped at
Birkin,
it.
Who wasn't playing a whole lot.
He
was laying down on his back most of the time. But he got up off his back to play that, to play in those games. But, I mean, that it's through Stern's blessing that that happened.
Yes, it was. And it was through his blessing.
And through that things just took off around the world. And that's why I say his name go on something that represents global. To me, to give that to the team that wins it. Now, since everybody sends their best players from around the world, why not make that something that you give to the team that wins the gold medal?
There is no name for an Olympic medal.
This won't be a medal. This goes along with who wins the Olympic gold medal. Everybody's sending their best players from around the world.
Okay, so what happens if Argentina keeps winning? Are you going to give the Davis Stanley Award? That should be an award that stays in America. Whatever his name is on an award that stays with the NBA. All the global stuff and all the things that we talk about outside of the borders.
Unless he
makes the NBA relevant and makes it a league that the rest of the world wants to be a part of, or at least come here and play in this game being done in America. Okay, that's not the case. If somebody were to go and become the David Stern, let's say, of soccer, what they would have to go through to change the worldwide perception of soccer being, you know, we think of Brazil, we think of other countries first when we think of soccer.
Yeah.
We don't think of America. When you think of basketball,
but we also
around the world, we think of America, we think of the NBA first, and it's because of what David Stern did. Listen, change that Larry O'Brien trophy. Larry O'Brien was the person who sat there and openly didn't think that, you know, these two guys, Magic and Larry, really aren't going to do anything for the league. He had no vision as to what that relationship was, not only coming out of college and what it could be.
Well, the league was still relatively young at the time. It was a relatively young league.
I understand. Well, it was only 4 years after that that David Stern came in, and he took that vision. He saw what Magic and Larry were doing.
And we talked about that along with cable TV all coincided about the same time. And
yes. Why didn't Larry O'Brien see that?
Because there was no cable TV.
Yes, there was. ESPN came in 1970.
It was new. It was so
okay. New. It was new. It was only 3-4 years old when David Stern became commissioner.
Right.
So there wasn't that much more movement. They were still showing, what was this stuff there? Australian rules football or something like that.
In the middle
like
of the night, the dude in the lab coat comes out there and says, you scored, right? That in the PKA karate. I know. I used to watch
me,
it in the middle of the
for
night.
For me,
yeah.
Larry O'Brien is not remembered for anything other than having his name slapped on that trophy. And you got to ask, you got to be of a certain age to ask why. And by the way, the NBA. Before David Stern, during Larry O'Brien's tenure, was not looked upon very favorably. And you know what they used to call them players and, you know, the drugs that they were doing and so on and so forth.
It was a different league.
Exactly, but that was on his watch.
It was a different
That's
league.
What I'm saying.
Different
when
player.
When David Stern came in, he changed not only the perception, but he actually changed the league. And for me, you put that name on there and know that that's the guy who turned around the NBA. We've done it in other sports. Folks didn't want to see Ford Frick's name, you know, taking off some awards. And, you know, the commissioners of Major League Baseball. So that's just my take on it. I just think it should be – that trophy should be renamed. Not the executive of the year. I think that's small. The NBA trophy going to him. And, yes, I think that everything that you and Sekou talked about, as far as him being, like I said earlier, Don Corleone-like,
yeah.
he was revered, he was respected – and everything else.
But if you're in a room along with him, that's the thing. He was tough.
He opened you up.
He's a tough guy.
But you had nothing but respect for what he did. And he changed courses a couple things. That whole Allen Iverson thing with the dress code. He did that for sponsors. But then got so much blowback on it, he relaxed a little bit.
He relaxed.
Took him a few years.
Yeah, it took him a little while to relax it. But, I mean, that's the thing. He's thinking about the league and the money coming in. And, you know, because of that, the money the guys are able to make. And now they wear whatever they want to wear. You can go dressing up like Russell Westbrook if you want to go to game. You wear anything you want to. Well, that's what Greg said. I still think he deserves something to represent the international flavor that he's brought to the sport and the way he's touched and impact basketball, not just NBA, but the game is what I think you talk about when you talk about David Stern. But that's what our thoughts on that. And we thank once again Sekou Smith for joining us. Next hour, we're going to talk some NFL. Wildcard Weekend, Gerlando Ledbetter going to join us in this hour. You want to stay tuned for that. But up next, chance to put some cash in your pocket. Call it the Casting Call on a Sunday morning, first Sunday of a new year here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9TheGame.com. Sports Radio, 929 The Game and 929TheGame.com. Sam Crenshaw with you into the 9 o'clock hour. Glad you've been with us this morning. Sun's up. Beautiful day outside. Our window here, 9 floors up at the Kia Studios in lovely Midtown Atlanta. I hope all is well where you are on this first weekend and first Sunday of a brand new year, 2020. And glad you're spending some of it with us as well. Chilly outside, though. I mean, it looks pretty chilly out there. It looks like it's pretty windy. I know the temperature dropped a great deal yesterday and got pretty windy outside. So if you're going to go out, bundle up. It's not as warm as it was back Christmas Day and those during that week when it got up into the mid-60s. And we're like, man, where are we? And even Greg said he went up to Chicago. It was pretty warm even up there while he was there. But he did get to see some snow before he came back home. And it was pretty warm where I went. I went out to Tucson with the Georgia State football team for the Arizona Bowl, the Nova Home Loans Arizona Bowl. And while the outcome was disappointing for Georgia State, it was interesting to see that part of the world. A lot of the guys didn't take the right clothing out there because they figured they're going to Arizona to the desert, right? It's the desert, but let me tell you, this time of year, the desert gets cold at night. It does. Matter of fact, they just had a snowfall before we got there, so there was snow-capped mountains there, which was very picturesque. Great, great photos, but if you didn't bring a jacket like I did, you know, it was a little chilly for you. It warmed up by game day. It got to around 60 for game day, but it was chilly out there, but still a great experience, a fantastic trip and into a just a milestone, a landmark season over at Georgia State. 7-6, most wins in the season. Of course, they kicked off with that thrilling upset up at Tennessee, up at Knoxville. And so we see how they will call and continue for that going on to the next season. See how they pick things up and carry forward with that. As bowl season kind of winds down, we're down to just a couple of games here. I think we had a game yesterday. Tulane was a winner over Southern Miss, 32-13. That was the Armed Forces Bowl. They played that in Fort Worth, Texas. Tulane and Southern Miss. You figure they could have played that game in like Biloxi or somewhere like that. Could have gotten together and played that one right down the road from each other, Hattiesburg and New Orleans. And then the Lending Tree Bowl in Mobile is coming up tomorrow. That is Louisiana against Miami of Ohio. So that's the MAC against the Sun Belt. And you know, we'll see what happens there. Louisiana, as they like to be called these days. It's Louisiana Lafayette, but a lot of people don't like the Lafayette. They brand themselves as just Louisiana. That's what they like to say. So they're playing that game in Mobile. And then, of course, on the 13th, our national championship game that we've been waiting a week, a lot of buildup coming up this week for this game. Clemson against LSU, Tigers and Tigers in the Superdome in New Orleans. And that's coming up on January 13th. We had a lot of talk about it in this coming week here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. You're going to hear a lot of talk about this game, and rightfully so. I think the right two teams are there. I think the teams that deserve to be there. And, you know, Clemson took their pounding during the course of the season, and Dabo Sweeney talked about it. And personally, I can't remember the last time a defending national champion that remained unbeaten was moved down the way that team was in the polling. I know people say because of this schedule who they didn't play, but I just can't remember the last time I've seen an undefeated defending champion moved down like that in the polls for playing games and not losing. But anyway, it's been a little bit of a chip on the shoulder for Clemson to get back to this championship game and then see what they do against LSU playing in New Orleans. Surely it will be like a home game for Coach Orgeron and his team. And we'll see how they respond in it. They are talented. They've played very well. They've showed that big time to us here in Atlanta, in the Peach Bowl. They look like the team to beat, and I do believe they are the team to beat going forward. Clemson. I would like Clemson's chances if they were playing somewhere else, maybe. But since they're playing Louisiana State in Louisiana, I think the cards are going to be really stacked against them. I think LSU comes out and gets the win in that game. You can share your thoughts with me on that too if you want to during this hour. At 404-741-0929 or text us on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line at 404-741-0929. Dear Orlando Ledbetter is going to join us in just a few. We're going to talk about the NFL wild card weekend, talk some about the Falcons, and talk some about the coaching carousel that is really going full tilt right now in the NFL, especially this week with the Dallas Cowboys entering in that now, seeing they're going to move on from Jason Garrett, and who dare go in and take that spot It's a high-profile spot. I mean, it is a hot heat lamp. You think they get a hot heat lamp for fries at your favorite fast food place to keep them warm. This is a real heat lamp that you're underneath when you're the coach of not that I'm hungry for fries at 9 o'clock in the morning, but just that's what you think of when you think about the kind of heat that a coach is under when they decide to take on the job. The Dallas Cowboys, this team at people have so much expectation for, even though in recent years they come short of it quite a bit. We know what the past is, but those championship banners and awards and trophies got a little bit of dust on them. Yeah, they do. And so a lot of people are wondering who dare to take that position. There are a lot of names that are being floated around for the Cowboys job and a lot of people they may be interested in talking to. Greg and I talked earlier about Josh McDaniels from the Patriots, the offensive coordinator, former Denver head coach Gary Kubiak, possibly former Cincinnati Bengals coach Marvin Lewis has been being mentioned. We'll see what happens with that. We do know that the Washington Redskins have solved their quarterback, their coaching head coach, opening with Ron Rivera, formerly of the Carolina Panthers, and he's going to bring former Oakland Raiders coach Jack Del Rio along with him. It's two good names, two solid guys you know who are solid NFL coaches with a track record of levels of success. We'll see what happens there. And Greg says not Lovie Smith. Lovie's at Illinois, and you seen that beard he's got these days. Anyway, the Browns are looking for someone. We kind of knew that would happen at the end of the season. It seems like Mike McCarthy, they're trying to talk with him. Eric Bieniemy seems to be on that list. Greg Roman, I think, also may be on that list as well for the Browns. They have filled that one. The Giants also are seeking some coaches. They're talking to McDaniels, possibly about coming over from New England. And Greg and I talked about that. Would that mean the possibility of Tom Brady sliding down and they being together with the Giants? We'll see, what happens with those. The Cleveland job is pretty interesting thing to see what happens there. You got a quarterback there that's very talented, had his troubles, had his struggles. Who comes in there and gets that thing going right? Because they've spent some money in Cleveland. They got some talent there. Man, can you believe that when the season started, people were talking about the possibility of the Browns, not only in the playoffs, but contending for the Super Bowl? Boy, did that kind of slide off track. But still, there's the thoughts of some possibilities out there. Matt Rhule took his name out of consideration for the job. I think they were talking about him with the Carolina job, and he said didn't want that one. Urban Meyer, what is he waiting on? You get the feeling he's waiting for the right thing. I don't think NFL is where he goes. But you just get the feel that he's just hanging out, he's just hanging out there, waiting to see the right spot, right opportunity to land again. He's not coached his last football game, I can promise you that much. But I don't know if it will be at the college or the professional level. So we watch to see, what will happen, with him. But an interesting time for sure, always during this time of the year. Meanwhile, here in Atlanta, we've decided that Dan Quinn will remain here. He, as well as Thomas Dimitroff, remain in place with our Atlanta Falcons. And a lot of people felt like there was going to be some type of change or needed to be some type of change. That's not going to happen. And we had a listener that called earlier, Lori, called our show and said she's happy that Coach Quinn is staying on as head coach of the Falcons. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. I felt like something might happen. I don't know if it means Thomas wouldn't be back, but I felt like the team had played well enough and it's shown enough in the back half of the schedule under Dan Quinn. And it shows the players just went out and really played for their coach that you wanted to see. And that's the thing you want to see. If you know the coach is in trouble, does the team go out and really play for him? And that's what it seemed like the team did. Now what happens going forward? Because you're still, on the clock with some players. You got some cap issues that are bound to come up with this team. You got to arrange some money, move some money around. You got some defensive players that you're going to have to work hard to get to retain some of them. You just got some issues as far as your roster goes. And what do you do with your draft picks? You figure your draft picks you have this year are going to have to be spot on. They're going to have to be guys that can come in and right away contribute and do some things for this team. And that's difficult. It's difficult to to demand or to know, because you just left to see who's going to be available, who's going to be there. But that's how crucial I think things are because of where your quarterback is career-wise, because of where Julio Jones is career-wise. If you want to get it accomplished with these guys here, you want to do that. You want them to be able to share it and be a part of it. And so that's the thing. If you want that to happen while they're here, you got to do some things and, you know, act with a bit of urgency. There's been some urgency anyway with this team, but even more so, I think, now this team wants to do that. So that's what we think will happen. I got some people who checked in on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Like I said, you could join the conversation at 447-410-929 or text us, you know, on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. There's some people here thinking about the national championship game from the 44551. Why do they have to play the championship game on a Monday night when people have to work the next day? You know what? They should play on a Saturday like they do in the regular season. You know, that's MK from Union City. You make a point. But it's Monday night, you know, that's the thing. The weekends during this time of year are kind of like the NFL plays on the weekends this time of year. Monday night is when we do March Madness. The championship game is on a Monday night. And you follow it, you have to stay up late. That game usually doesn't end until midnight. And if you want to stay there and watch the one shining moment, that's usually after midnight. You're up that late if you want to watch that to the very, very end, and the last nets are cut down and everything. So that's kind of what they're doing. The same thing as far as football goes. The Monday night championship game, not tomorrow night, but a week from Monday night. Clemson, LSU in New Orleans. Oh, it'll be a second Mardi Gras, don't you know it? Go Tigers. Up next, spend some time with D. Orlando Ledbetter talking about a wild wild card weekend here on Sports Radio 929 The Game and 929TheGame.com. Sports Radio 929 The Game and 929TheGame.com. Sam Crenshaw with you. Nine floats up in the Kia Studios. Beautiful Sunday outside, but got to be chilly. Wrap up it as you go. Of course, up in the other parts of the country where football is going on, people are going to bundle up and head out to the games where they're going to be indoors today for the New Orleans Saints to play. But up in Philadelphia, yeah, are you going to need to ring it and wrap it up for that game later on today against the Seattle Seahawks? Joining us now to talk some NBA NFL playoffs, wild card weekend, from AJC and AJC.com, D. Orlando Ledbetter. D. Led, Happy New Year, first of all. Good morning to you.
Happy New Year to you, Sam, and good morning.
Great, great.
Thanks for having me today.
Hey, it's the wild card weekend, and man, can it get much wilder than what we saw yesterday in those first two games?
Yeah, those were a pretty good start to the playoff season. Buffalo came out hard and got out in front and then couldn't hold the lead. And Deshaun worked his magic at the end to lead the Texans to victory. And then we saw Derrick Henry just run up and down the field on the Patriots. And then quarterback Ryan Tannehill just make enough passes to keep them honest. And a 14-13 old school football game got us started yesterday.
Got things started today. Talk about Tannehill. I mean, is he like kind of reinvented himself in a way with this team up in Nashville?
Well, yeah, no question about it. He in Miami, they put too much on his plate in Miami, and he's not a franchise quarterback. And in Tennessee, he doesn't have to be a franchise quarterback. He has to give up the prettiest handoffs ever to Derrick Henry, and then hit an occasional pass to the tight end. They took away my man A.J. Brown yesterday. Davis couldn't get going, so the passing attack wasn't a factor. He just had to keep him honest enough to keep him out of the box. So he's a game manager, and he managed the game well yesterday. He's done a good job of that over in Tennessee since taking over from Marcus Mariota.
Yeah, he outdueled a Hall of Famer for sure in Brady. Thoughts about this? I don't think it's like the end of everything with New England, but is it the end of Brady in New England? And if so, where do you see this guy landing?
Yeah, 5 times undefeated. I mean, you know, he's been, you know, we haven't seen guys play in their 40s like this. I mean, other than the kicker, George Blanda, Charlie Joyner got up there. I think he was 38 or so. So father or mother time, however you want to go on that, is undefeated, and Tom Brady is, the clock's running out on him, too. Whether he keeps going or not will be interesting. He certainly got a full career and can walk right into Canton. You don't want to see him keep playing too long and then get hurt, kind of like Brett Favre did a little bit. So the best of, you know, best of luck to him. I don't know where he would go. I haven't thought about it. I can't even put my arms around the thought of him being somewhere else other than New England.
I know. He has been such a part of that team, that franchise, and that brand. I would have trouble seeing him in a different uniform as well. Move on to the games today now. And you know, first of all, down in New Orleans, of course, we got a big college game that next week, but we got the big playoff game. And it's a rematch that we saw a couple of years ago. This team against the Minnesota Vikings, talking about this time around, they're going to be playing them down there.
Yeah, no doubt about it. This one's going to be there. They're calling it the Dalvin versus Alvin show. Of course, Dalvin Cook from Minnesota, and then Alvin Kamara, our kid from Norcross High, down there for the Saints. You know, those both of those guys drive those offenses. And then, at least in the Saints situation, Drew Brees can go to Mike Thomas. So he's got a little bit more to work with than the Vikings. But the Vikings are all Dalvin Cook. I don't think you're really counting on Kirk Cousins to win a playoff game for you. Just hasn't happened for him, but he's a fine quarterback. So you want to go with a better quarterback at home, and that's Drew Brees and the Saints in that one, no question about it.
All right, second game of the day, a pair of great quarterbacks. Which one is hotter coming in right now, talking about in this game coming up with Seattle and Philadelphia?
Yeah, Russell's really, really hot, although they are 1-3 over their last four games. He certainly had the second-best season in the league among the quarterbacks behind Lamar Jackson. And this will be Carson Wentz's first playoff game. He's been hurt the last two runs. Foles came in, took him to the Super Bowl, and then last year Foles took him to the divisional round. Wentz is, we're going to see what he's made of on the playoff stage. They did a great job of getting in the playoffs, winning their last four games with, some undrafted players stepping up and so forth. So, it'll be interesting to see. But here again, I think you go with the better quarterback, and that's Russell Wilson. I'm thinking Seattle's got the long road here because they couldn't get an inch against San Francisco. But I think they're ready to get back into the Super Bowl mix.
Okay. Spending time on the WaitForIt.com hotline with D. Orlando Ledbetter. He is social. Once again, he's at D. Orlando AJC, at D. Orlando AJC. Are the Bowtie Chronicles continuing in the postseason? You going
to
do some?
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it. We'll be going down to once a week on Wednesday morning at 8 o'clock to keep everybody on top of what's going on with the Falcons over the offseason. Now we kind of go just start pointing towards the Senior Bowl and the draft, any more coaching changes, and start getting ready for the combine and the off-season stuff that we do with the Falcons. So, yeah, we'll have the Bowtie Chronicles podcast for everybody at 8 a.m. every Wednesday morning.
All right. Okay, now you talked about the Eagles and them making it in, playing it in. They make it in, but the rest of the teams in that division all making coaching changes. One has been solved, but a big one came up this week with Dallas. Thoughts about that, and who dare go and take that job out in Dallas?
Yeah, that's going to be, it looks like he's going to, he's looking at former head coaches because he's trying to, drop somebody in there like he did with Barry Switzer and then get back to the playoffs. So Marvin Lewis is in there. Mike McCarthy's in there. I don't think they're going Lincoln Riley. Young college got route at this point. But Jerry's taking his time. He's going to look at everything. And I got Clarence Hill down there at the Footwork Star Telegram. Will be on top of that. You want to follow him if you're a Cowboy fan. I want to see Eric Bieniemy get a job. Good friend out in Kansas City. Former Cincinnati Bengal, Colorado Buffalo. He's interviewing in New York. Maybe he gets that one or Cleveland. Of course, Coach Ron Rivera took the Redskins job and then is in Washington with Jack Del Rio. So the NFC East is taking shape. Don't know what Jerry is going to do. And the Giants, you got a quarterback now if you like Daniel Jones. So, that's a good organization. Has been a good organization in the past. I don't know if Dave Gettleman can get him there, but that's certainly a good job to want also.
All right, well, what happens in your hometown? You're not mentioning Cleveland. You got quarterback, and the Browns spent a lot of money last year. They got some guys. They got some talent on that team. Who drops in there now and really gets this team to move in the direction people feel like they're capable of moving?
Yeah, I'm just kind of down on the ownership up there. They keep firing the coach every couple of years, and they're doing it backwards again, talking about they're going to get the coach, then the GM. I just wish them the best. I mean, wish the fans the best up there, because it's pretty clear the problem up there is like it was in D.C. It's not whoever's going to be in there. It's the owners.
Wow. And that's tough, because there was so much reminding people when the season began, there was all this talk about Cleveland in the playoffs, possibly being a Super Bowl contender. And they showed us flashes of that, but not nearly enough. So you wonder who steps into that position to kind of restore some of that and get it moving and jump-started and going in the right direction.
Yeah, a former coach would be the best person there. Maybe even, Mike McCarthy, but I think Mike can get a better job than that. They haven't talked to Marvin Lewis. The young assistant coach doesn't want that job because he's going to probably be gone in a couple of years. So it'll be interesting to see what they get up there. But like I said, but the coach picking the GM is just backwards from the beginning.
Listen, D-Lane, I had to jump in. This is Greg. And I think I'm speaking for a number of people. When I ask you, how do you spend your off season? You're on vacation now.
No, he's not.
Well, not really, Greg. I still do the blogs and the podcast and whatever news comes up. Doing research for the combine on 330 players coming up there, and then I think some people know I do teach at the University of Georgia in the Grady School of Journalism and the Sports or Certificate Program. So that's what I put on my professor hat a couple days a week and stay abreast of what's happening in the NFL. And right now just kind of getting ready for. I won't cover any playoff games, but I will cover the Super Bowl and give us some national coverage from Miami for the Super Bowl. So, yeah, it doesn't slow down that much. Football is a year-round deal these days, and get a little breaks in May and June. But for the most part, we'll keep this thing rolling. Folks like their national football.
Well, see, this is good because, see, I actually kind of teed that one up for him because a lot of people didn't know all those things he just named. But the last time we heard from D-Led, see, I was here last week when you were out in West Coast.
Yeah.
And D-Led gave his response. I think he was talking to Dukes and Bell about what was going on with the Falcons and everybody who was staying, and he gave his thoughts on that. And then during that interview, you said, my offseason starts on Monday. And talking about the Falcons. But now that the dust has settled, how do you still look at that situation, D-Led, with the hometown team?
Well, I kind of, look at it as it was their, best way to keep it going. They couldn't tear it all the way down. They paid everybody all their money. The players, there's no room to bring in a lot of players. So I could blame them want to start over from scratch. The best way to move forward was to, keep the status quo with a few changes. So they basically admitted that last year was a coaching error or a stack of coaching errors to get off to the 1-7 start where you were playing so horribly bad, giving up 30 points a game, defense looking in disarray, offense couldn't sustain itself because it was behind. So by the time it got the ball, you're down 20 half the time. So that was just a hot mess, but they fixed it, and they think that can carry over to next year, which doesn't ever really happen, but hey, that's what they think. because they're going to change 20-30% of the roster, so it's not going to be the same team, so it's not going to carry over. But, wish them the best. They certainly have some pieces in place. Some players got to get better. They got to improve. Because, like I said, they can't go out and get a lot of free agents. So it's going to be interesting moving forward. I wish them the best, but, we're just going to have to cover it and stay objective about how they move forward here in the future.
Yeah, and with that, we go into our new year, 2020. D-Led, thanks so much for spending some time with us this morning. We'll be watching out for the Bowtie Chronicles and more from you and Professor Led. As classes resume over in Athens. Thanks so much for spending some time with us. Always great to have you.
Sure, no problem, Sam and Greg. You all take care and have a great rest of the week.
All right, that is D. Orlando Ledbetter giving us his thoughts of, you know, that's what he does. Talking about things with the Falcons, he wishes them all the best and giving his thoughts about some of the coaching changes that are coming up. And boy, it makes that Cleveland situation sound really bad, doesn't it? Okay, folks, top of the hour, we got John and Hugh will be here. Usually hear them weekday mornings. They're coming up at 10 o'clock. Up next, though, we're going to talk more about the NFL playoff games. And somebody who hadn't won in a long time, who won recently. Stay tuned. I'll tell you about that. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9TheGame.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9TheGame.com. Sam Crenshaw with you. We're going to work on our way up to the top of the hour. John Freaky, Hugh Douglas in the bullpen warming up, loosening up. They're out there doing some sit-ups and chin-ups, and they're getting ready to come in. They're getting all tuned up to be in with you. At the top of the hour, as we get set for a busy Sunday afternoon here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, as Wild Card Weekend continues, and you can hear it all right here. Vikings and Saints pregame at 12:30 with the kickoff at 1 p.m. From New Orleans. And then to follow that at 4:15, the pregame between the Seahawks and Eagles. 4:15, the pregame, 4:40, the kickoff for that game. And that is the other two games of your wild card weekend that we'll have for you here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9TheGame.com. Thank you for also, you know, chiming in on the show this morning. Also, from texting us on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, 404-741-0929 for both. Join us and contribute. Had some people also weigh in on the championship game. We had someone ask earlier, why is the national championship game on a Monday night when college football is usually played on Saturday? Although this time of year, there's college football every day, well, except for the day, because it's, you know, college football bowl season. And for the last 3 weeks, there's been just about every day there's been a college football game played. But I know usually they play on Saturday, but they do play this game on a Monday night. It will be next Monday night in New Orleans. And so some people weighed in on that game and as far as Clemson. And I said, well, I think LSU is, and someone disagrees with me from the 770. Sorry, but the Clemson Tigers are the more balanced team and will win. Okay, we'll take that. I mean, you know, it's hard to go against a defending national champion. You know, that's the thing about it. They are strong, and they're playing with a bit of a chip on their shoulder because, as I said earlier in our show, I can't remember the last time, if ever, seeing a defending national champion who was still undefeated yet, you know, sliding down in the rankings throughout the season without losing a game. So that's the thing where, you know, you wonder about that game and you look forward to seeing. So while a lot of people wonder why they have to play it on Monday and whatnot, we're going to see that. So a lot of people feel like LSU hasn't seen a defense like that. You know, they'll win the game, they'll win the national championship. Clemson will have half that done. We'll have the dome half full of orange. And we'll see. The tickets are going to be available, but I'm telling you, you're going to a game that's going to be practically in LSU's backyard. You know, and they say LSU hasn't seen a defense like Clemson. On that note, that's what they think will happen. So we'll see what happens as far as that game. But thanks for contributing and checking in with us on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line this morning, sharing your thoughts on that game as well. I mentioned before, you know, we went to our last break, that somebody won this year that hadn't won in a while. And someone that we used to see win a lot. And as you know, the start of the new year and the new NASCAR season will start on February 16th, that's the Daytona 500. They'll fire the engines down in Daytona Beach and get things rolling with NASCAR. Jimmy Johnson, 7-time Cup champion, who announced that this will be his final season at the end of last year, has not won a Cup race since 2017. He recently won something. He won a team snow skiing competition in Aspen. He's on a 6-man ski team, and his ski team won. So Jimmy Johnson got a win. So maybe instead of making a left turn, just keep it straight and downhill. And maybe that's, you know. We also know he is an ardent avid runner now. He's run the Boston Marathon, I think, once or twice. But next year will be this upcoming season will be his final one in car 48.
Do you consider racing a sport?
Absolutely.
Do you consider the drivers athletes?
Yes.
Then that is the second biggest athlete in American sports right now, behind Tiger.
I don't say sport, but you think he's biggest athlete?
I just asked you if he's an athlete.
Yeah, he is.
So if he's an athlete, he got 7 titles. That's one more than the dude we've been talking about most of this morning, and that's Tom Brady. Okay, so as far as I'm concerned, and he has been, I mean, we talk about other NFL players.
Right.
We've talked about other NBA players with LeBron in the league. We have not talked about many other drivers.
No, we
as
don't.
Far as winning. Yes, right. You see what I'm saying?
Nobody here in Lewis Hamilton.
But yet, no, I'm talking about in NASCAR. I'm not talking about international. And I've railed about this, the fact that this dude, him and people like San Antonio,
Tim Duncan.
They don't seek it. That ain't their problem. It's we call ourselves sports fans. We pull out stats. So and so was the second string Notre Dame quarterback back in 1990. You know, and use that as a reference to make a point. And this guy and what he's done has gone largely forgotten, other than by NASCAR fans and his achievements. Would you or would you not agree?
I would agree with that, and in particular when we mentioned he hadn't won a race since 2017.
But he was racing last year, and he had 7 championships in his back pocket.
Right.
Dale Earnhardt got how many? Junior.
None.
Okay.
But he's the most popular driver. He's not even driving.
When people weren't talking about...
Well, not active drivers, Chase Elliott, obviously.
But yeah. when you weren't talking about Jimmy Johnson, they were talking about Earnhardt. And they were talking, you know, it just is something that I'm glad you brought up. That needs to be acknowledged. Now
that he won something?
No.
I mentioned he's won, somebody who hadn't won in a while won
you
something.
You were doing that tongue in cheek, man. Come on. Now he's looking for a sponsor still, right? He's not gonna walk away.
No, I think he's got a sponsor.
He still got somebody?
They changed the sponsor, yeah.
Okay, because I thought he was carless.
No, he got a car. He's still with Rick Hendrick, but this is his last year with Hendrick Racing, with that racing crew. Somebody else gonna get that seat. Some dude is probably about 18 years old or something. As you know, they get younger and younger.
I mean, is he worthy of this kind of conversation? When we look back on 2019 and what has happened, or in his case, not happened, but yet still being the gold standard in that sport.
You know what? He's one of the things you look at and say, you know what? Hopefully, this year he gets a win. Hopefully, he goes out and he contends and gets a win, and this is last year. And we want to look in our crystal ball, things we hope to see this year for NASCAR. And we hope this is a good year for NASCAR. NASCAR, all we heard talk about last year was 2020 and what 2020 was supposed to mean. The changes with the schedules and new things that were going to happen. The Atlanta race has been moved to a date that everyone hopes would be more conducive weather-wise. So people are looking forward to what's to come as far as NASCAR for the coming season. I know I am, so we look forward to what's going on with it. And I hope that things will be better. The viewership will be up. The people going out to watch the races will be up, and the racing will be great and something that people will want to watch. And like I said, at least one more win for number 48. Let's see if that happens.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.